So Ephesians 5 is where we're actually turn over to. You know, we're going to take maybe a couple of seconds here to 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, I was thinking about this morning just because, you know, as we look at the new year, you know, we live in a day and age where this very well could be the time that the Lord would return. We see things happening in the current events, you know, the whole Middle East thing, and of course, a lot of that's been going on for years and continues, right, to fester and come to fruition in a sense. But this morning I was looking at the 2 Timothy verse where it says that the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, strong, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away, for of this sort are those who creep into the household and make captives the gullible women, loaded down with sin, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, and I look at this, and it's apparent to me is that we live in a society that is very self-centered, very self-willed, very self-righteous, lovers of themselves, unholy, unthankful, all this, unforgiving. Vengeance is their middle name, right? And it challenges us, I think, as God's children to step beyond that, not to get wrapped up in it, but to be different, right? I think of the place in which Peter reminds us, right, to be holy as he is holy. And I think that's a call to the church today that holiness is not some high and lofty word that we cannot, that we shouldn't aim for. Holiness is something that we should live for. And we want to be holy people unto God. We want to be separate. We want to be a people that we're all about the Lord. You know, so many. And maybe we are this way, where we're wrapped up in worldly things. We're wrapped up in our careers, we're wrapped up in family, we're wrapped up in a lot of things, a lot of different things that wrap us up. Maybe, you know, I think of Mariah, right? She's getting out of school this year, she's going to go to college, and that's all good and well, right? But that's not who she is. She's not a college student. I'm not an engineer. Right? That's not what defines me. I am God's child. That's who I am. You know? That's my identity. And I like here in Ephesians where Paul, you know, Ephesians, look at, this is one of the first, this is the first prison epistle, right? He's writing this from prison. Paul is captured in a sense. He's writing love letters now to these different churches. All right, so we're just saying that. So this is one of his first epistle, right, from prison. he's writing this letter to Ephesus, and he had visited there a couple different times at the end of his second missionary journey. He spent 3 years there on his third missionary journey. He spent 3 years in Ephesus. So certainly he had a love for this church. But we see later in Revelation, right, chapter 4, what happens to this church. Jesus calls them out, right? I mean, this is the church that lost their first love. So it's important that we keep our focus this year. It's so easy to get distracted by ambulances and fire trucks. it's so easy to get distracted by the things of the world. But Paul would write in chapter 5 here, when we look at Ephesians, right, the first three chapters are very doctrinally based, but the last four are very application or practical based. And so when we look at chapter 5, we see here that Paul says, therefore, everything that I've taught you, right? We can have all the head knowledge we want, but if we don't take and put application to it, we're gonna have issues, right? So, therefore, be imitators of God, my dear children. So he's talking to us. He's talking to the Christians at Ephesus. Be imitators of God. Be holy as I am holy. And then in verse 2 there he says, walk in love. That's love is agape. Agape. And then he says, this is how I want you to walk in love. I want you to walk in such a way as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet aroma or smelling aroma. So walk in love, this agape. You know, there's the plural to agape is actually defined as love feasts. You know, God calls us to walk in a sense, in a love feast. You know, always loving on people. You know, and I think that is a high calling. And when we look at how Christ loved, how did he love? He loved by giving his life for us, right? For the world, actually. It said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Not just for those that accept him, but for everybody, right? So, and Christ died for us, or loved us, while we were yet sinners. Sometimes, don't you find that the hardest? For your love, when dealing with somebody that's in sin, boy, sometimes you just want to rack them, don't you? You just want to rack them, you know. They need a good whooping, you know, sometimes, and you're almost willing to give it. But God says, "Look at Fred, I need you to love them sacrificially. I need you to love them as I loved you." And in Christ, love was sacrificial, and it wasn't upon condition of our hearts that he loved us. You know, as I think Keith was saying, that we were enemies of Christ, right? While we were yet enemies, he died for us. While we were yet, not wanting anything to do with him, he died for us. And sometimes I think when we look at people around us, right, in the world, sometimes it's hard, right? Because our love is so conditional. But God calls us to an upper level love, and that is his agape love. Wow. And there's only one way we can agape love, and that is if his Spirit is dwelling within us, right? If his Spirit doesn't do something to Fred's heart, he has a hard time with this whole agape thing. But it's the agape that makes a difference in the way we love. In this offering, it says there. an offering and a sacrifice to God. An offering is what Christ did. He gave himself. It's a giving. It's an act of giving, right? He would give himself for our redemption. And you know what? This kind of walk, this walking in love, this is really pleasing to the Lord. It really smells good. You know, like here. It's like, boy, that food really smells good, right? I mean, it seems like it's pretty pleasing right now to me. But, you know, we've got to wait. But it's a smell, a sweet smelling aroma to the Lord. It's a walking in love is what we need to do. So there's a few walks that Paul calls the Christian to. The other one is outlined there in verse 8. It says that, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Walk in the light, right? We were once darkness. We were once darkness. But now as children, we are, it says there, that we are light in the Lord, right? We are light in the Lord. That's pretty awesome. You know, when we thought of our identities in years past, people would ask me who I was, and I would tell them the kind of person I was, right? Or my title in corporate, right? Or whatever that is, but that's not our identity. Our identity is that I am a child of God. That's my identity. I am light in the Lord. Many would say, you know, that when we were going through a trial here a while back with an individual that was in drugs, you guys all kind of know it, and I remember one time being with him, and he said to me at one point, he said, "I am an addict." And I got thinking about that after the fact, you know. When we might have been an addict before, but when Christ comes into our lives and the Spirit of God is within us, we are no longer what we were. Right? Our identity isn't the addiction. It isn't the title. It's none of that. It's not even Fred. Right? It's our identity is that we are a Christ follower. Right? We are a Christ follower. And of course, what comes with that is that if we are truly light in the Lord, then our life should show it, right? We should have some evidence that we are no longer darkness, that our identity has changed. The world promotes a lot of different light, right? I mean, if you search the web at all, right, you'll find different kinds of light that are in the world. Jesus is just one of the lights. Right? But we know He is the true light. And He's the one that makes us light. The Spirit of God within us makes us light in the Lord. I was just looking at a place. I don't know if you guys knew this, but out in Aaron, there's a place called the Light on the Hill. You ever heard of that? It was all new to me. The reason why I saw it was every once in a while I get job things that come across my email, right? And so I was looking, and I go, "Oh, this is interesting. It looks like a retreat center." And I looked more into it. It was an everything retreat center. It said the Light on the Hill, but it wasn't the Light on the Hill, if you know what I mean. It was many lights, right? And it's right over in Aaron. So close to us. I thought, oh boy, a retreat center so close to us, we can just kind of pop over there. But it was all different kinds of light that the world would promote. Right? But there's only one true light that makes a difference in our lives. And we're able, if we are of the light, if our light is in the Lord, well, then there's a difference in our lives. And we are defined by that light. Goes on there to say, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. His Spirit dwells in us. We should have goodness, kindness. We should have righteousness in our lives. We should be walking according to His upright standards. We should have truth, right? John 14:17 said, the Spirit of truth is with you and will be in you. Right? It was a prophetic of the day after, or the day of Pentecost, that the Spirit of God would now be within us. And we would be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And of course, in John 17:17 it says, sanctify them by the truth. The word is truth. Right? And that's, you know, that's where we're leading. We're leading to where, you know, if we're walking in the light, then we're spending time in His Word. Right? So if we look at the children of the light, which we are, there seems to be things that we should be seeking after, right? So look at this. It says in verse 8, the last part of verse 8, and if we could read it without the parentheses here, and maybe skip over 9. Look what it says. It says, walk as children of the light, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Right? If we're children of the light, we're going to want to know the heart of God, right? We want to know what the Lord is pleased with and what He isn't pleased with. And how do we find that out? It's not a mystery. It's not a mystery anymore, right? We have the Word of God. So, as children of the light, I think that we should be seeking His acceptance. Right? We should understand that when there was a time when we were His enemies that God sought us out. That the Spirit of God sought us out. We weren't seeking Him because we were doing all the other things that we were doing, right? Our sinful life and our self-centeredness and everything that 2 Timothy there in chapter 3 defined for us so well. That self-centeredness. But there comes a time when the Spirit of God comes and dwells within a person, and he or she is a believer, that we start seeking things of the Lord that we wouldn't have even pondered before. One of the things I think is, God, is this acceptable to you? This thing in my life. Right? I remember Karen's mom. She got saved when she was 60 years old. At a retreat that Rosemary Gallatin had done, Pastor Bill's wife there in Farmington. And she received the Lord, and I remember it was a transformation took place in her life. I'll say that was believable that her conversion was real because things started to change. And I remember Karen coming to me and she said, you know, I'm a little concerned that she's not getting fed properly spiritually because she's going to her old Catholic church. And my response was to Karen was, I can sit down with her and try to convince her, but I think a better alternative is let's pray and let the Holy Spirit convince her, right? And then all of a sudden, she comes to me 2 weeks later and she says, or to Karen or myself, and says, look it, I can't go there anymore. I was jumping for joy inside, right? I was like, praise the Lord. She, you know, and we found her a Bible-believing church, you know, and she got plugged in and she was there. But it's that's what happens. When conversion is real, we start seeking the acceptable things of God. We want to know. Why? Because we love Him. Right? And our actions show it. We just want to know, Lord, what's acceptable? What's a good place to start is a word, right? To get into the Word of God, we'll find out that a lot of myths are dissolved that we thought were in the Word of God, that people have always told us it was in the Word of God, but you never find them, right? Those kind of things. But we'll find the truth in prayer, right? Spending time with Him in just prayer, just Him and you, just conversing, you know. Try to listen more than you talk. Right? Sometimes we talk more than we listen to Him. And also just, you know, be in fellowship, right? It does say in Scripture not to forsake the fellowship of the saints. And there's good reason for that, because we build up. Right? Fellowship of the saints are for, you know, to build up people. Encourage people in their faith, in their walk with the Lord. Gives us some accountability there. Verse 11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." So as the children of a light, be concerned with what we're fellowshipping with. These works of darkness. Work implies that things are being done, right? The works. Things are being done. Effort is being put into it. There's implication here that there's actions being taken. And then it says in verse 12, don't even talk about them. You know, it is shameful even to speak of these things which are done to them in secret. Be careful though, you know. He's talking about the works of darkness. He's not necessarily talking about the people that are in darkness. So sometimes when we group them together and we say these are the works of darkness and the people, be careful that we don't say, well, we're not going to witness anymore to them people because they're in darkness. And he's just saying, hey, you know, be careful of these works of darkness. And why? Because they're unfruitful. There's nothing to them. There's no expansion of the kingdom because of these works of darkness. There's no impact on them. Matter of fact, it's, you know, a lot of the works of darkness have a negative impact on the witness that we have for Christ. And sometimes the works of darkness even have a physical consequence, right? I think of drugs or all that stuff. You know, they're the works of darkness. They have a physical impact on us. And thirdly, the verse 13 says, "But all these things that are exposed," right? Matter of fact, if you jump back up to verse 11, it says that no fellowship with unfruitfulness, but rather expose them. You know, I think the desire of a Christian, a child of light, is that they want all these works of unfruitfulness or darkness to be exposed, because they want a closer relationship with Christ. They want a more intimate relationship with the Lord. We don't want these things around. It says in verse 13, "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light," meaning that they are made apparent. It's obvious to us now. "For whatever makes manifest is light." So the light of the Word, or you know, another brother and sister, you know, and I would say this too, is that when we counsel people with the Word of God, not the opinions of ourselves or men, you know, and allow them to see those things as being dark. We don't necessarily have to be the ones pointing them out, but allow the Spirit of God to minister to them through the Word. Verse 14 says, therefore he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Will give you light. A child of a light, the light desires to be awake, to be coherent, right? Sometimes people look like they're awake. They look like they're paying attention. But they're sleeping. But they're sleeping. You know, we do a lot of things in our sleep. We talk in our sleep. Not me, but, you know, you guys. Now, Karen said she's had conversations with me in my sleep. And then finally figured out I was asleep. But for a while, she thought I was awake because I was so clear. I should have gave her a clue that I was so clear, right? And we hear in our sleep. We hear certain things, right? We can go back and forth in conversation in our sleep with them. So we obviously can hear them. We can walk in our sleep. Perfectly natural. I remember Hannah getting up one night and walking in her sleep, and she was walking around the kitchen and so forth, and we thought she was awake. She seemed so natural. But she really wasn't. We asked her in the morning, and she didn't remember anything. We finally figured it out, you know. We can even sing in our sleep. I know, because I have. I remember Karen saying one time I don't even know the song. I made it up in my dream, must be. And I don't rap, okay? But she says I was rapping. So, I don't even rap Christmas presents, so I... But, yeah, so we can do a lot of things in our sleep. You ever thought in your sleep? Because you're in a dream, man, and it's good, and you're like, okay, I'm going to... When I get out of this, this is what I'm going to do. And you know it's a dream, but you're sleeping. You're thinking about what you're going to do. So there's a lot of things. People can be pretty sleepy, yet, you know, we think, wow, they're wide awake. They understand. Paul says, here, awake. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. There's a progression there. We got to wake up first. We got to wake up first to see the unfruitfulness of the works of darkness. We got to wake up to see that, hey, we're not loving people the way we should be loving people. You know, we need to wake up. We're children of light. Then the last thing that I want to just hit on here is verse 15 through 21. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. As circumspectly is just be aware. You know, be aware of your surroundings. What is around you? Look around. Look around. Be watchful. Be careful. Those kind of things. As a wise one would. Not as a fool. A fool just has a very narrow sight and path. Usually it's very well directed toward fulfilling some sort of lust of the flesh. He says, be wise. redeem the time, because the days are evil. I underlined in my Bible the, because I think it's not just talking about redeeming time. You know, I need to spend my time more wisely. Though that's a good principle and everything, right? I think what it's talking about here, because of Galatians, if you flip over to Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, it uses the same word, but it calls it opportunity. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those that are part of the household of faith. This time is not so much, I'm going to use my time better, or it's not giving of a day or an hour or a minute kind of thing. It's saying, look at, there's an opportunity here. There's a opportunity to redeem the times. There's an opportunity to seize the opportunities, right, that the Lord has placed before you for the purpose of His glory. Not for the purpose of advancement on my behalf. It's kind of like a season. We talk about seasons sometimes as Christians. We say, well, we're in this season over here. Right? Well, redeem it. Because there's something special about that season. That season is not just to frustrate you. It's not just to allow you to suffer. Right? It's something redeemable there. That the Lord wants you to redeem those times because they're precious. There's going to be an opportunity with somebody maybe for the gospel. Right, I think about Karen's parents living with us now. And I think it's we've just had a blessed time with them, I'll say that. Karen's dad's the best cook. He's probably got victuals out here for us, and he loves it. He loves to cook. But man, Karen's been redeeming the times. Just spending that time with him just to cook. She loves to cook too, right? They're like pee in the same pod, right? They just love to cook. But I think of that, wow, what a precious season the Lord has given us. Right? I remember when we were trying to get them to come live with us about 2 years ago. It's taken us that long. Not necessarily. It's like him going to the hospital. He gets a little stubborn sometimes. And his main reason was, I don't want to inconvenience you, right? Inconvenience. These times are precious, right? I look at Karen and her dad and I'm like, wow, what an awesome thing. You know, I think the Lord's tired of my Thanksgiving because I thank Him a lot for it. It's precious. But it's a redeeming of time, right? It's a redeeming of that season. You know, I think of so many people that retire. They retire and they do nothing for the Lord. What's with that? Redeem the time, man. You have all the time in the world. A lot of time, anyways. I think about us that work, you know, during the day, and we don't have the time. But when we get there, what happens to us anyways? We look so forward to that retirement, and then we get there and we're going to do this. We get there and we don't do that. The Lord says, redeem the time. The time that you're in, you know. I think for me, I work alone a lot. right? I'm in somebody's house, fixing the house, and I work alone a lot. And last week I had the privilege of working over on Lake Road with a guy that I used to work with. That's a brother in the Lord, a young guy, very mature in the Lord. I had the privilege of working with him. I redeemed the times. I wanted to redeem those times because I don't get them much, you know. Them opportunities that the Lord sets there for you. You could be the encouragement to that someone. We just need to redeem them. They're there for us. They're a special gift to us. And we just need to be wise about it. We need to redeem those times. For it says here the days are evil. We might not get those times again. We might never come upon them on this side of glory. So redeem those times. It's very, very important. Verse 17, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It's important. You know, I get that question often. You know, what is the will of the Lord? Well, I'll give you something that I know it is, and that is to spend time with Him. You know, in His Word, I don't think anybody here would ever argue that. You know, I think it's a good place to start, because I think if we start in the Word of God, His will be revealed to us. Because I know what you're after. You're after the lights and all that. Right, you want to know what the purpose, the importance of you being here is. And I get that, but start with Him. Start with that relationship. And off from this, you find that He just shows you. And I'll tell you this, He might show you things that you're to be that you don't want to be. And I'm telling you, you better repent. And you better know that He knows best. Because I've been down the road before where I've done things outside of the will of God, and I knew better. And it wasn't good for me. His ways are always the best ways, right? Goes without saying, just a reminder. All this is to, you know, I was thinking about this this morning, and I was thinking, you know, all this, you guys could have went through and read it for yourself, for sure, and probably got more out of it maybe even then. But it all seems like it's pretty common sense stuff, but we need to be reminded of this. I do. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. That word filled means a constant. A constant. I want to be filled with the Spirit. If I'm a drip low, I want a drip. It's really a desire of our hearts, right? I mean, you get out of bed in the morning. What do you do when you... I was thinking about this the other day. I'll do some confession. How's that? I get out of bed in the morning, I'm groggy, I go, maybe I take a shower, and then I go downstairs and I put a bagel in and get my cup of coffee. And then I ask for a filling of the Holy Spirit. Is that the right order? I don't think so. I mean, I'll be honest. I think, you know, God needs to work on some of my order in my life. Because I get them a little switched around, right? No, my priority is always Him. So I need more of Him. There's a good reason why, you know, He talks about wine here and stuff, right? I mean, if you think about wine, right? Wine, the ingredient that affects us, right, is, as far as being drunk with wine, is an alcohol that ferments, right? Fermentation there. And that alcohol, I don't know why people do this. They get depressed, they go drink. Wait a minute, it's a depressant, right? Why would you do that? But we do that. Why? Because we're fools. We're fools. Makes us feel good maybe at the moment, but it does bring us down into a depression where the Holy Spirit stimulates us. It gets us ready. It gets us excited about the gospel. Right? This is your day, God. I was having a conversation with somebody. I won't name him. You'll know who he is. But we kind of do the same trades, right? So I used to get up all the time, be real excited about the work. And I honestly was having this conversation, and as we were having this conversation, I go, gee, I really don't. I mean, I like what I do. Don't get me wrong. I don't mind what I do. But that's not really where I should be getting excited about. My excitement is because I got filled with the Holy Spirit filled me, and man, I'm excited about what the Lord's going to do that day. Wonder what the Lord's going to do in me and through me today. Right? We want Him to work in us, and we want to be used by Him, and we want the Holy Spirit to work through us. You know, as I look at all the garbage people do during the New Year's, right? They come out with all these resolutions that they never do. Sound like, I think everybody on New Year's Day wants to be a politician, you know, because they lie a lot. But you come out with all these. Actually, I heard somebody say the other day, it's you want to make your resolutions in bits and pieces. You don't want to make them a big broad brush. I want to lose 100 pounds this year. Right? You get to June and you've lost 3. You go into major depression. You start drinking alcohol. I guess I don't know. And you forget about the spirit, right? But I think we can all make this part of our life where we say, Lord, I want to be filled today. I want to be filled to the top. I might not even think I really need to be filled anymore. I might think I'm topped off. But I'm going to ask for it anyways, because I'm telling you, we want to be Spirit-led Christians. I hear that term a lot. I'm a Spirit-led Christian, but we're doing stuff that isn't according to the Word of God. Well, if we're a Spirit-led Christian, we're going to be doing things according to the Word of God, right? We're not going to look for loopholes and all that stuff. Matter of fact, I was reading someplace that I'm not an English specialist, but you just stick with me. This person said that this verb here, filled, is passive, a passive verb, which means that it can't be manufactured by experience. Right? You can't get the Holy Spirit more excited than what it is, right, to fill you. You can't do anything real special so that the Holy Spirit fills you. All you do is say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Passive. And He comes and He fills you. It's pretty awesome. And they also said it was imperative, which means it's absolutely necessary for the Christian to live. It's like breath. It's like the breath of God. And I agree. And once we're filled, this filling of the Holy Spirit into our lives makes a difference. Look at 19 and 20. It says there, it says, speaking to one another in praises, psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We don't sing here for each other's sake. We sing to the Lord. You know, we always say, look at, you know, if the Lord gets you in a don't feel you have to please how I were, please Fred. If the Lord wants you to fall on your knees, fall on your knees. Right? If He wants you to raise your hands, raise your hands. He wants you to clap, clap. It's unto Him, right? And it goes back to what we were talking about right at the beginning, right? Sweet smelling aroma. It's sweet to Him. When the Lord touches our heart and we just give Him praise. Give thanks always for all things to the Lord, to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So that gratitude, that wonderful praise that we get to honor the Lord with. So my encouragement to you this year, and then next week we'll be back in 1 Samuel, but my encouragement to you is to walk in love. Walk in love. Be imitators of God. Walk in a love that is sacrificial, that is giving, even down to your last breath, if that's what it takes. I remember, I'm trying to think of his name, the guy in New York City that ministered to the gang, and he wrote that book. Was it Wilkinson? Yeah. And I remember him confronting a gang member. And later that guy, I think his name was Cruz, came to Christ. And he had a knife. He was going to kill him. But he loved him with agape. He saw past everything that guy was. Right? I'm telling you, if that's all we do is love this year. The agape way, that's awesome. And then walking in the light, right? Exposing. So often are we exposing people, other people's darkness that's in their lives. Let's expose our own darkness to, you know, by the light of the Word of God and allow it to, you know, just refine us. And then walk circumspectly. We know it. And take opportunity of all the things that the Lord plops in front of you. Allow not the cares of the world not to snuff them out, because they will. You know, just allow God the privilege, you know, us the privilege of God laying something before us and us actually wanting to do it.